Support for the homemade broadcast on Sunshine 96.7 FM WMTB comes from Truvy Salon and Spa in St. Petersburg. Located at 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, Truvy Salon and Spa offers hair care products and salon services by appointment only. Find out more about Truvy Salon and Spa at their website, truvysalonandspa.com.
This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
Yes, I think a lot of people have egg on their face. This was an idea that was first put forward by Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State, Donald Trump. And look, some things may be true even if Donald Trump said them. And there was, because Trump was saying so much else that was just out of control, and because he was, making a frankly racist appeal, talking about Kung Flu and the China virus, his notion that put forward that this may have, or that he said flatly that this came from that lab, was widely dismissed. But actually, there's some real reason. We don't know, by the way. We still don't know. We absolutely don't know. But now serious people are saying it needs a serious inquiry.
Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com.
RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
See, this is good news for Will.
Why? What do you mean?
That is a tweet that it would be very believable that Galvin would write it. I think I know Galvin's style a little bit better. That's why I didn't think it was him. Definitely a tweet that I would write, and it was Will. So it leads me to believe that Will is the next generation of greatness on this radio station.
I like that.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
This is Mayor Rick Kreisman, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioStPete.com and Sunshine 96.7 FM. Welcome to the program. My name is Will Koontz. 813-693-2124, HMBRadio.com. Home_made_man on Instagram and Twitter. Follow Radio St. Pete as well. Radio STPE. That was ABC News' John Carl admitting what we already know, that corporate press is beyond repair. It was a stunning admission, really. He was talking about the lab leak theory, the hypothesis that has suddenly gained credibility. We've been talking about over the past few weeks here on this show, and, you know, it's all over the place now. There's been a lot of these stories that come out, and they end up being completely false. The newest one that came out this week was the Lafayette Square during the protests over last summer when the former president was accused of, you know, abusing protesters, having them shot with rubber bullets and gassed with containers so he could go take his stupid little photo with the Bible at the church that they tried to set on fire. New York Times called it the pinnacle of his presidency, something that the history books will remember, this authoritarian, just crushing opposition. And it ended up being totally fake, totally framed it the wrong way. The Interior Department had already planned on putting fencing up around that church because they were trying to burn it to the ground. And he took advantage of that and decided to go take a picture, which is, you could criticize that. I get that. The stomping of boots to go crush opposition. Shut up. Enough. The truth is bad enough. Stop trying to make it worse. And the reflexatory, I'll take the opposite position because of who's saying it that we don't like, it makes them look like morons. There was another one of these. Okay, so here's the next one that is going to come out. That injecting bleach works. No, I'm kidding. Don't inject bleach into yourself for COVID-19. However, hydroxychloroquine works. Yeah. And that's going to be, I'm not going to say it in total that just that drug, but there's a new observational study published by MedRxiv, a journal, and it found that the antimalarial drug hydroxychloroquine, along with zinc, could increase the coronavirus survival rate by as much as 200% if distributed at higher doses to ventilated patients with severe version of the illness. This is from Yahoo News, not Alex Jones's website. Again, it's just a study, needs to be peer reviewed, all that. But come on. That's going to work. So maybe, you know what? Maybe just get some UV light in your lungs, swallow UV bulb. It all goes away. Maybe he was right the whole time. Maybe he was right about everything. I don't know. 813-693-2124.
This is the Homemade Broadcast. This is RadioCP.com.
1 year yes. has really gone by. In a you know, a glimpse, a blink, mm-hmm. as they say. It's you know, a year of COVID, a year of being inside,
a year of tweeting. The only person that was fired during COVID, but not because of COVID.
That's Anna Hummel. She's sitting right next to me. Hi. 1 year ago today, you were fired from your previous employer, where I sat into your and filled your tiny shoes, and you know, I gotta say, things have never been better for the both of us.
And me as well. If I can take everyone back to June 10th, 2020, I had been suspended for a week. And that was really the worst part. It would have been so much better had they just fired me immediately. But because they, you know, Cox Media is not only into firing people, but also into torturing people, which is fine. I understand. I deserved it. But I sat on pins and needles for a week in limbo, in career limbo, in employment limbo. What's my next move? I don't know. And from June 2nd till June 10th, they just had me in limbo. And then finally, it was about noon on a Wednesday, June 10th. I'm like Rain Man when it comes to dates, so I remember everything very clearly. I hopped on a call with my former boss and a member of HR, and they broke the news to me that I had cancer. No, that I was fired, which may have been worse. And I remember as soon as they, like, I could kind of tell the tone of where the call was going. It was a very brief call. But once they said that we're going to have to let you go, I just wanted to, like, slam my laptop closed and walk away. But then they have to give you the proper salutations and thank you and blah, blah, blah. They have to say all the right things because HR is on the line. I tried my best to, like, keep my eyes as wide as possible to prevent myself from just completely losing my S. And finally got off the call. And I broke down pretty hard because I go, well, what now? but about an hour later, I was on the phone or I was texting the Sponge to arrange a meeting to meet. And 1 week later, I was on the air with Bubba. Pretty quick turnaround time, but
when the God or whatever the universe opens a window, sometimes it or closes a door, it opens a window to a sponge.
It does,
and that was
the lovable sponge.
Yeah,
some hated by some, loved by many.
Yeah,
sometimes
sure.
A little bit of both.
Oh yeah,
He's insane. He's mentally ill. We're all unwell, but that's why we gel together so well. So I cannot believe next Wednesday will be a year since I've worked there, because it still feels like my new job, but it's not my new job. I've been there for a year, and just to think, I think about this all the time, not just with the tweet, but that's a good example of it, where one tiny decision has such immense consequence, like life-changing consequences. Just hitting tweet and posting that tweet and letting it marinate for the hour and a half that it was up there. Had I not posted it, had I, whatever, just like written it out and then deleted it, like everything would have been different. And it's one of those things where in the moment, there's so much regret. Like, why did I do that? And now I'm really happy I did. I'm really happy I did. So it's really interesting to think about that here a year later. Like, you know, I work with completely new people. My life literally turned to 180. I was working at nights. Now I work at 6 a.m. Just everything changed. I make more money, which is nice. But
yeah. Oh, so, yeah.
A+.
Well.
But I do miss you and Johnny terribly.
Yeah.
That was the word. That was the only bad part about leaving.
Sure. I mean, yeah, that's just, there's always trade-offs that you're going to have, you know, with that sort of thing. And I wouldn't even really blame your former employer. It's a corporation. It's a massive corporation. So there's, you know, procedural things that need to be done. I don't even know if, looking back on it now, they were, you know, I know you had thought that they were, you know, dragging you along type of thing, like making you suffer. But I think it's just paperwork needs to be signed, and there's a bureaucracy there, and it takes forever, just like governments. To get anything done, it's got to go up the chain and figure out what to do now. And
well, I think it was more like they were waiting on an HR member, a specific one who had worked with me before, because I had multiple indiscretions. They needed to make sure they needed her to be available for the call.
Yeah.
And so, because she was, I know Maria quite well after hurricane epilepsy. And then there was actually an incident a couple of years before that where I was involved with the HR. I'm problematic, and it was one of those, obviously, a blessing in disguise, but I was never built for corporate anything. And that became very apparent, where I just kind of kept finding myself getting into trouble. But it's weird, because I'm not bragging, but I feel like I'm a team player. I'm pretty easy to work with.
Yeah.
I never like call other people out. I'm like, hey, you need to get this guy in trouble, or, you know, you need to talk. I'm not that person. I'm not a rat. I don't. Unless something heinous happened where I was like touched or something really inappropriate, I'm not tattletaling, I'm not complaining, but people are always complaining about me or, you know, getting into trouble for random stuff that, you know, is unforeseen. But anywho, it's crazy to just reflect on the consequences that such small, like, decisions, things that you just decide to do in an instant, and you go, oh, tweet.
You know, it's weird, because I think probably I've said on air more terrible things than you have, but you've gotten in trouble for more things off air with your social media accounts and, well, actually everything. All your trouble really stemmed from social media, not really from anything that you said on air.
Yes and no. Yes to the last two. The first one, someone overheard me saying something and they got upset in the building. But
oh, okay, okay.
F that guy.
But even that wasn't on air.
No, it wasn't on air. But it was like not on social media.
Well, that person was a lunatic.
Well,
a straight up lunatic.
I guess you could make that argument for all of my indiscretions about people who, you know,
are lunatic. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is. People who, you know, they were upset with how I responded to a comedy show that we went, and then told me that they were going to kill me and put me in a body bag.
Right.
Like, oh, you're the compassionate one. Interesting. And you want me to die, like, for comedy?
Well, they're compassionate for people, or they're tolerant. They're intolerant of intolerance.
Intolerance is a demon, right?
Right, right. So they must destroy. You know how much evil is allowed in a society. The answer is zero. It must be destroyed. Mm-hmm. So we're in a hyper paranoia right now. Yeah. I've never seen it. I mean, I haven't been alive that long, but you know, I guess it's not new in history, but it's new for me in trying to navigate this world, because I say terrible things a lot, and a lot of it goes out over the air, but you have the
fleeting, and you have context.
Well, it's almost not fleeting anymore, because now you have replays. You know, you can go on apps and get replays. And
but I mean, that's going to take a bit more work to go search and find and listen for, versus when it's something that's just on social media by itself, and you can just grab that and retweet it or whatever.
Yeah, it's definitely a little more work to go back and find the replay to
Right, and also the people that are tuning in on a regular basis, I would say nearly 100%. Enjoy listening to you. You know what I mean? They're fans of the show. So they're not, I mean, there probably are a few, you know, moles and they're trying to F you over, but most people are there because they enjoy the content that you're putting out. So they're not trying to ruin that because they enjoy what they're listening to. Whereas with social media, you know, it gets retweeted on the American Epilepsy Foundation and then 100, which has like 154,000 followers or members. And then you have what happened. It was before hurricane season. It preceded hurricane season, but we call it hurricane epilepsy, and it was mighty.
You know, that was such a such a perversion, and I wish that these companies would stand up. I understand
they
that
did. Like, I will give respect to, or credit where credit is due to Cox. They saved my job.
No, I know that, but they also placated to them and gave them a donation, a ransom, if some would say, maybe even
free PSAs,
which have stopped. It's been a year. And it's been going on. I heard them even fairly recently on the station. So they're still...
That's
they're
my memory still, right there. That's my legacy.
Yeah. So I think it was at least, you know, I don't know. I haven't heard them lately, but I really don't pay much attention anyway.
At least 2 years.
Yeah.
Because it was in April 2019.
Yeah. So that sounds... So at least a year and a half then.
No, we're in June 2021.
Oh God. So you know, it's just to like call the dogs off. Social media allows these people to accumulate and get together online and form a lynch mob, you know, with a e-dash in front of it, like email.
100%.
Where they're able to just harass and harangue and really do a lot of damage. And I think, like, I get why companies, and I'm not just talking about, you know, the one I work for, but in general, they tend to freak out and go, ah, just leave us alone.
I don't blame them. Like, once you start messing with the money, then you're a problem. I was very surprised that I weathered that storm. I really am. And I'm even more surprised that I made a similar indiscretion like less than a year later, which is so stupid. But it was kind of like a sign from the heavens. Like, you're not, and I don't believe in any of that, but, you know, we're using metaphors here. It was kind of a sign that's like, you don't fit in here. And kind of like working at Cox was kind of like waiting to catch COVID. You know, it just, you were never safe. Even if it was on your private account, which everything was, nothing was on the Bone account, but it was on my private accounts that I was posting stuff. And there's like, you represent the company 24/7. It's like, please. So it's really, really nice that my boss now has been banned from Twitter for a lifetime. So he can't even see what's going on.
What did he do?
What did he do or what did he say he did?
All right, just give me both, I guess.
I don't really know exactly what...
Did he try to start an insurrection
online? No. Apparently, I think he went after Greta Thunberg.
Okay. Oh, yeah, you can't do that. They don't tolerate that.
He didn't say anything about her having, like, Asperger's or anything. He just said, shut up, little kid.
Yeah, you can't do that. It's harassing a child. Now, keep in mind that they also...
I have a feeling that there were some other issues.
Sure.
That's what I was told.
Well, she is one of the... Greta Thunberg is one of the people that you cannot mess with online. Like, you can't even go, I disagree with
she's
you,
untouchable.
Really. She's untouchable. Because she's a child. She has a mental...
Is she anymore? Like,
no, I think she's 18
yeah,
now.
Yeah, okay. She's fair game
she's,
now.
She's, you know, has a mental disability. And, you know, of course they use her for... a human shield like Hamas does to throw her out there for political opinions. They use her like a puppet, but she's also untouchable. So it's a brilliant, brilliant plan to use these children as pawns in their game for the long haul. But yeah, she's one you can't mess with. I saw a story about her that she's upset with Chinese media right now because apparently they're fat shaming her. I didn't really read the article, so I don't know what it's about, but I just saw the headline where...
Is she overweight now?
I think also, she always kind of
was. She is. Also, I'm following her on Instagram, and I will be sending you videos regularly. We have this one that I like. I almost want to reach out to her. She wants to do, like, a fat trip to Bali. Because her thing is, like, the one that I send you with the oxygen tank.
Yeah, that's my favorite one, too.
She's all about, like, listen, your weight shouldn't hold you back from traveling. And, again, these aren't people who are thick with two Cs. These aren't even people that are chubby. These are people that... I mean,
they're dying.
They have like sleep apnea, but when they're awake, you know, sort of a thing. And they're 24, so we shouldn't be having problems so young. Anywho, she has this whole thing where she's like, you should be able to get on a plane. You should not have to pay extra. We're gonna travel to Bali. So me and like some fat winners, we're all gonna go to Bali together. And I'm so excited for this trip, even though I'm obviously not going on it.
Wait, is it sponsored by somebody?
I think she has a few sponsors, so I think that they're throwing money at her to kind of put this together, and that they're gonna go on this big holiday together. And I am so excited for all of the content they're gonna get in Bali. They're gonna scare the locals, that's for sure.
Where is Bali? What is
Indonesia?
Indonesia. Okay.
It's like there's like an archipelago. Yeah. I think I said that right. And there's an island, and one of them is Bali, but it's in the country of Indonesia.
Okay, excellent. Well, I look forward to seeing that. What's her? You want to give her a plug so people can follow along?
I think it's like J Bay Productions or something like that. I really can't get enough of her. She's my new fave. And every story that she does, whether she's hawking, you know, clothes or skincare products, she always has her oxygen in. Mm. And that makes me so happy.
Yeah.
When she's like, hey, check out my new outfit. And she's got like an oxygen tank. And she's like, listen, if you go to the doctor and they tell you to lose weight, they're fat shaming you.
Yeah, yeah.
When you clearly have like health issues.
It's so frustrating. And these people are.
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess you just got to learn to enjoy it, but oh my God, it's just very frustrating because it's just so not true. But that's a lot of things that go on, you know, right now is I look at it and my brain can't comprehend it.
Yeah, but once you kind of make the switch from this is so frustrating, this doesn't make sense, how come they can't see it? When you kind of turn that into just this is so entertaining and I love watching the buffoonery unfold online, then it improves your quality of life. And you start, instead of getting angry, you start to laugh. And then you just really, you enjoy it. And you can't get enough of it.
I guess the key is just controlling your own, you know, feeds. Like, only let your children, make sure that you're checking out what your children are watching on TV, and control your own family life, and don't really try to change the culture or anything, because you're going to lose.
Yes,
you're gonna
it's lose. A losing battle. Just worry about your damn self. I did want to get into this right here, because I think it's interesting. It's an interesting debate that we kind of run into here and there. It says here, teens slam school's sexist dress code, quote, it perpetuates rape culture. So I think a bunch of whores at a high school, just kidding, lovely young women, they were mad at their school because they had a dress code that they had to adhere to. And they said, well, instead of telling us what to wear, why don't you tell the boys to focus on school instead of focusing on us? Because it's not us that they should be worried about. It's
I don't even think it's the boys that's the problem, right? It's not.
Here it is. If children's midriff, now they're children. If children's midriffs distract you, you should not be working with children. But you're doing it for everything you do is for attention. So this is exactly why I'm a fan of school uniforms. And I never used to be. Mm. But when I lived in Australia for a little over a year, I saw everybody had uniforms. So I assumed everybody went to private school. And then I learned, no, private, public, whatever, everybody has a uniform. And that way you kind of like almost know what kind of gang, what school you're from. Even so you could just see someone be like, oh, they go to whatever school. But I was like, that sucks. You can't wear whatever you want. And they're like, no, it's actually a really good idea because you're not worried about the latest fashion. You're not worried about what is my shirt clean or dirty. You buy like five of the same outfit and then you wear that every day until you get too fat or too skinny or whatever. So I think that that is a great idea so you can avoid stuff like this happening.
These are the problems that people are coming up with or not. You know, look at her picture there. This is bad
for
radio,
sexual.
But very sexual, yeah.
Very sexual, very salacious photos. But, of course, we have to blame the boys. It says here, quote, the dress code is sexist towards women and perpetuates rape culture. it's interesting how they go from children, but now they're women. Mm-hmm. Like, it makes us very uncomfortable, said the creator of clothing, Ku. She's 16. She's a child. We as students feel like what we wear is not distracting towards others or affecting others' learning environment, the abdomen-bearing advocate added. Look, you just want to be a whore and it'd be okay. Like, I just...
At 16, too, now the legal age in this country is 18. But in some countries around the world...
It might be different.
That's true. I think in Florida, it might even be 16. I don't know. In Florida, don't try it out. You better, if you're going to do something, you better make sure you look it up. No, not me.
I'm just kidding.
Not me. I'm just saying, like, if you're going to do something, guys, you better make sure you know your local laws and regulations for sure. Yeah. I had a friend that this happened to. He was in college. He wasn't even, you know, in his 30s or anything. He was 19, 20 years old, and he was working at a fast food restaurant in Gainesville. And there was a woman there at his job that they got flirtatious. They ended up engaging in acts of intercourse.
Coitus.
With one, coitus, if you will. And he's black. I don't know if this had anything to do with it or not, but he was black guy. The girl was white. It's in, you know, Gainesville, Florida, which is, I would say, the South. You know, okay. And when the real South, there's a cutoff point. Tampa, Orlando, Miami are their own country, in my opinion. And it's part of the, you know,
is it part of the panhandle or no?
No, I mean, it's just in south. The, it's in the
penis part.
The shaft.
Yeah. The shaft.
Right. Right. So it's not really in the panhandle, but it's close. You know, Jacksonville.
Is it panhandle
would be,
culture? Culturally.
I would say it's a mix. I mean, you have the university there, right. But. You know, Ocala's the country.
Yes,
you know,
I've
and
been
it's
there.
A lot of farms and
racetracks. And there's a racetrack there.
Yes. So, and I'm not trying to. I'm also not going to sit here and smear Southern people either, because there's if you want to racism, go up to Boston and you'll get plenty of
right,
it up there, or Indiana or whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm not smearing the South. I'm just saying, and maybe this has nothing to do with it. Maybe it was just because of their age, whatever. But he was 20. She ended up being 16. She lied to him and told him that, you know, she was older than he was. He didn't think to ask for ID.
Yeah.
So, you know, the parents found out, and he ended up being arrested for that and had to go through court proceedings and spent some time in jail for it. And now he's got to register, you know, as a sex offender.
For the rest of his life.
He has to, for an indiscretion when he was 20 years old with a person he told me he thought was of age.
And if that's true, that's really sad.
It is sad. And I think there's a lot of that going on. And it's like, you know, all the responsibility lays on the man in that equation. And, you know, I think about it too. Like, if it was my daughter, I'd probably want the guy dead as well. But if it was my son and he was 16... I'd probably be like, nice, way to go, dude.
Yeah, we have this joke at work where if there's like a teacher having sex with a student, if it's a male, guilty, right?
Yeah,
the guy, and I work with all men, and they say if it's a guy who is having sex with underage girls, he is guilty, send him to jail. If it's a woman, they're like, we need to see what she looks like.
Yeah.
If she's an uggo, guilty, going to jail. But if she's hot, they go, let this whoop, she's a hero.
Let her live.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would kind of consider it to be your... I mean, there's double standards in life, and I don't know why we fight so hard against them. I think we should
try to... I know
why
we do, but I've also accepted them as well.
Yeah. I mean, they just are. It's just different things. So he's, you know, 16, you're a woman. Usually at 16, a lot of girls anyways are over the hump and they're women
mean?
At that. They're developed. They have, have womanly
you
features.
You are reproductive.
Oh yeah.
You look a lot of, not everyone, but a lot of girls look like women at 16, even younger for sure. Yeah.
I mean, you know, you look at,
especially
just
when they're dressing like this.
That girl does not. Shaming. Yeah. I wouldn't consider that a little girl. That looks like a lady to me.
Yeah, that looks like your stepmom.
Yeah,
gonna ruin your
she's
life.
She's kind of got like
your dad
sex hair on and stuff too.
Yeah,
but she also has pictures of Emma Watson in the background, and you know, flowers and pictures of.
She's clearly a teenager.
Clearly a teenager, but in a very seductive pose. Is there any? Can you click through those? This is bad for radio and podcast.
Sure.
But oh, there's a video.
A video.
Oh, don't play it.
All right.
Okay.
It's just her with her the kind of breast someone exposed the top of.
Yeah, she knows what she's doing in these photos.
Now, I'm not trying to victim shame because you hear that a lot where it's like, and I hear this all the time, and it is the dumbest thing that you could possibly say. They're like, don't tell women how to dress. Tell boys not to rape.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. Clearly, in normal society, if boys do things that are violent, they're disciplined for it, and no one is grown up saying it's okay to rape women.
Nobody's
in America.
And
if they're doing it, there's clearly something deficient in the brain. They come from a broken home. They're mentally deranged, whatever the case may be. So tell criminals not to be criminals, and they'll listen. Like,
yeah,
clearly not.
It makes no sense. It's the most asinine thing you possibly say. Rapists, real, true blue ones, know that they shouldn't be doing that, but they're taking the risk and doing it anyways. It's not like they caught me to go, oh, I didn't know that that was wrong.
I didn't know you couldn't do that.
I didn't know you couldn't do
that.
Dave
Chappelle
once said. They know. They're very aware of it.
Yeah.
And with this culture that we're in now, the definition is so perverted. Now, like when I think of somebody committing, a sexual violent act like rape, it's jumping out behind the bushes with a knife and holding somebody down and covering their mouth. And now it's just like, I got wasted and I banged this guy. I didn't want to.
And I regretted it later.
And I didn't like it. Which, I got news for you. If that's rape, I've been raped dozens and dozens of times.
No one cares, Will, you're a boy.
I know nobody cares. I don't care either. I'm just saying if that's a definition,
sure.
There's double standards. And I know that if I had lady parts, it might be a little different.
Mm-hmm.
But also gender doesn't exist now, too, so you should care.
It's all about gender, but also gender doesn't exist.
Yeah.
It's interesting, that dichotomy that we focus on. We embrace being a woman, and we try to put women on a pedestal or trans people on a pedestal. And, we embrace your femininity, like, who runs the world? Girls. Not really true. Whatever. Girls. And then it's also like, but gender's fluid. And how you're born, it does not reflect what your sex is. That's completely society-based. It's like, not really. Like, you're not just, you're born either with, ovaries and penis or whatever. But obviously there's some, I've seen everything on Sally, Jesse, Raphael. So I understand that you could sometimes, there's intersex people that are born. And I do feel sorry for those
people.
Yeah,
but those are hyper rare.
Oh, 0.00001%.
Hyper rare, yeah.
Right. But nevertheless, going back to this thing, I'm not trying to victim shame, but it's like, I also just don't, I don't think it would be really appropriate for boys to go to school dressed with, like, and they don't have a shirt on.
Right.
Or they wouldn't have their pants really low where you can see the little V lines.
V-line.
Like, that's inappropriate for children at a school where they're supposed to be learning and not, worried about putting their goods on display. You shouldn't have ball cleavage. That should be inappropriate. You shouldn't have your balls pressed up so that people can see it and it's attracting attention.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a reason to show your body like that. I mean, it's to get attention from men and women, I'm sure.
From everybody.
Yeah.
To cause a scene.
And you're supposed to be at a place, like school. You're supposed to be there to learn.
Right.
You're supposed to be there, to get a job done, not to draw attention to yourself. You kind of are. It's not an individualist, realm. It's you're there as a collective, and you're doing
it's
homework.
It's like a job. Like if you walk into the office, I don't think you can walk in wearing whatever you want. If you have like a uniform, like you can't be working for UPS wearing that. They're gonna be like, you got to go home. You can't dress like that. And when you're a child, when you're a kid, school is your job. You have to go to school. And you should not be able to wear, that's not the school uniform. And it's funny because kids in America, most of them, have a lot of freedom of what they can wear. But they want to wear like the few things that they can't because they want to sexualize themselves. And then when they do, then they go, why are you sexualizing me? Mm-hmm. I see this all the time with like the hottest chick in the world, Emily Ratajkowski.
Mm-hmm.
Just a stunt, like a genetic freak. Mm-hmm. I think her boobs are real. And she does this all the time, and it's infuriating. It's like, stop objectifying me, and she'll be topless, like, holding her nipples and covering her, like, her titi, and she's just like, stop objectifying me. It's like, well, you're objectifying yourself.
Yeah. It's weird how, and I have trouble with this, because sometimes I see their points. you know, where they talk about it. Like, I see these girls' points where they're like, it's just, I'm just a person and I'm at school and I want to wear what I want to wear. And I'm, you know, a pretty staunch individualist. I'm like, yeah, where would you, you should, nobody should tell you, you know, I'm a freedom person. Nobody should tell you what to wear, but also.
They're also kids.
They're also kids and they're also having it both ways. They're able to get two things done at once. Now, there's consequences to your actions. And you're mad at the consequences to those actions, which are, you know, somebody, some boy might look at your boobs when you're walking by, and then you're mad because your boobs are out. But it's like that's just there's consequences. This and you, it has this now,
right.
You know, and they don't seem to have any foresight with this about what the next move would be, what would happen because of that, and they get to, you know, live. Have their cake and eat it too. There's got to be a better expression for that. I hate that.
Than
saying.
Having your cake and eating it too.
Yeah, what the hell does that mean?
But everybody knows what that means, though.
Yeah, but you know? Stupid. We got to come up with a modern one.
Yeah, but that's exactly what that is. And if anything, it's just, it's really distracting. And like you said, not, I mean, I could. You're lucky if you have an issue with two students. I imagine, like, you walk into Mr. Bruce's class, who's 65, and a chick like that walks in, and he checks out her breasts, and she's like, oh, my God, the teacher's undressing me with his eyes. And he's like, oh, no, well, you have them out on display. You know, those are the sorts of things that I mean, I would not want to be a teacher in this day and age, especially a male teacher.
A cop or a teacher.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Could you imagine
not.
If you're just like a 40-year-old dude and that girl, that 16-year-old girl walks in with her breasts out, and if you look at it, you're a predator? Like, it's just, it's a losing battle.
It's something that biology is programmed in us.
Men. I'm telling you, I probably look at breasts more than you do.
Yeah.
Because women are constantly checking out other women. Is she hotter than me? What's going on? First thing I notice, it's like, I see breasts because if you're putting them out on display, you look, and then I feel like a creepo. But I'm like, thank God I'm a chick. I can kind of get away with that.
Right. That's so, double standard, but it's
double standard.
I totally get that one. That makes
so
total sense to me.
It's not just men looking, it's women looking too. So it's just like completely distracting. And then, you know, if it's really low cut, there's a chance that there might be nudity. So it's like, well, then what? Here's an argument. Why don't you just go topless then? Like, why are you want to wear whatever you want? Then why don't you just go full nude? Like,
well, they don't want to go full nude. They want to just wear a little bit of clothing.
Well, I just say go full nude, go all out. If that's the argument that we should be able to wear or not wear whatever, then just go full nude. But see, even they have limits in their mind where they're like, well, that's inappropriate.
That's beyond the pale.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's interesting that they're like, well, no, that would be inappropriate if I showed a nipple. Mm-hmm. But then why do you have those restrictions? If you're full freedom, then be full freedom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Make
well,
the point all the way.
Yeah. Well, you're going to get some weirdo teachers making that argument. You'd be like, they should just come to school nude. I think that's the solution here, and you're a bigot if you don't agree with me. And,
so,
yeah.
I just think that it's completely inappropriate, and there's no way. And this is a problem not with this kids, but with parents. Where are the parents? Because I feel like any parent that's really involved in their kid's life, that they know that over-sexualizing a child is probably not a good idea too young.
Well, they bypass everything, and this we're more connected now. Everybody has TikTok, everybody has Instagram, and they can kind of congregate online. It's like the same thing we're talking about, where you create these e-lynch mobs, you create these e-communities where they become echo chambers, and there's just one point of view, and then they all get stirred up and say that, yeah, well, we're right, and then they go out into the world and chastise, you know, normal human beings.
Yeah.
And look, it's not... All they're not bad points. Like I said, I believe that you should be able to wear whatever you want. But also there's repercussions to that you have to be knowledgeable of and understand that if you do this, this might happen to you.
But I mean, as a parent, if I knew that this was going on with my daughter, or I found out, say she was, you know, putting clothes in her bag and changing at school or whatnot, I mean, as soon as I find out, I mean, you're grounded. We're taking the car away. We're taking the phone away. Like, how are the parents seem to not be getting involved? It just seems like student versus administration.
Now it's possible that maybe dad's not around or, you know, something like that.
Or mom is supporting it. She's like, well, she looks cute and she stopped sexualizing my daughter. It's like your daughter's sexualizing herself and people are taking notice.
If she's 16 years old now, you know, we're in our 30s. That could easily be our daughter, theoretically,
yeah,
now.
Sure.
And our generation was kind of the first... you know, Gen X kind of brought us up and the boomers. And what's after, what's in between Gen X and boomers? Or are, is there no in between?
Gen X? No, it's boomers, Gen X, millennials, Gen Z.
And the iGen is the following one. Okay, so we got our generation, you and I, being people in our 30s, geriatric millennials, we're kind of the, I guess Generation X kind of ruined us to a certain extent, and the boomers ruined Gen X.
Well, I would, I mean, my parents are boomers.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I was raised by boomers.
Yeah.
But I was all, I mean, but I was, you know, I was, I came from like a wholesome home and I had wholesome friends. Like this would, I, my friends wouldn't allow me to dress like that. They'd be like, you're embarrassing us. Get away from us.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is that our millennials now are becoming parents.
Yes.
And I think it kind of, this started kind of happening with us. I think the millennials.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, I think you see problem. It's more apparent now than ever before with the youth being unruly. So that's definitely a problem with millennials, you know, having kids, especially young, and they're just, you know, not teaching them manners, not teaching them respect for authority, not teaching them respect for the elderly, you know, like, and kind of a good parameter of that is my dad's been a teacher for like 25 years, and he tells me that the, you know, the treatment that he gets from his students, the way they speak to him now versus like 10, 15 years ago is completely different. Like, they're so rude now. They say whatever. They don't care because they know they have power. You know, if I got in trouble with the teacher when I was a kid, my parents came after me. Now it's the reverse. Why are you getting my kid in trouble? Why are you doing this? You know, stop telling my kid what to do. It's like, your kid's an a-hole.
You know, this is another contradiction. I'm not a violent person. You know, I don't really believe in violence. But also, there used to be fear. And you see it in these videos, too, with kids going up and cops now. You know, women your size saying, I'm going to F you up, B word, to cops. And I'm just like, this is just crazy to big, giant men. Now, there used to be a threat that maybe you get punched in the face if you said something crazy like that. And it kind of kept this natural hierarchy. Now, I'm not a fan of violence and keeping people in line with violence. However, what's the alternative? The alternative is there's consequences of this lifestyle of not getting smacked in the mouth if you're ridiculous. And I think this is it. Now you got little kids and crazy people and undisciplined people running the world.
Yeah.
Now, quite literally, and you can't, you know, do anything about it because God, if you smack them, then
You go to prison for life.
Yeah, you're in a lot of trouble. So, I don't know. It's just one mess after another going on right now.
I guess the closing statement for me would be if you decide to have kids, could you just do it right? Could you just try? Could you put a little effort into it? You know what I mean? Like, you decide to have a child or you decide not to have an abortion, however you want to put it. You know, you've made the commitment. Just try to be there. And I understand it's not easy for everybody. And a lot of these people, like you said, probably come from single parent homes. But even then, like, try to get in a situation where you are keeping, there's eyes on the kid. And I've always said this, and I probably get a lot of, I almost said the S word, a lot of, you know, S for this. But I don't think that you need to come from a two parent home to be a success. Obviously, you know, the stats show otherwise. And again, they're just stats. It doesn't mean that you're going to be a complete failure if you come from a single parent home. Obviously not. But I think if we look past the two parent, because then you get into, well, you need a mom and a dad. And it's like, well, if you have two moms, two dads, what if you just had one mom, whatever. I think if you have eyes on the kid, whether it's grandma, whether it's an auntie, whether it's mom, whether it's just a dad, whether it's your uncle, whatever the case may be, if you got eyes on the kid and people paying attention to the kid, I think the kid's going to be okay. Whether that's an aunt and a brother or, you know, whatever it is, like, people just have to have eyes on the kid. And I just feel like that's a big problem, that people are too into themselves, into their own lives. I know a lot of people that are parents or had kids and they probably shouldn't because they just wanted to live their life. They're like, you know, Casey Anthony, but didn't kill the kid sort of a thing. Like, just mm-hmm. wanted to go party, whatever. I see lots of parents just on their phone and they just give their kid an iPad and they're like, entertain yourself.
Yeah.
If you have a kid, just, you know, be a parent. That's all.
That's fair. I have my own feelings about that. I think it's probably the traditional family is probably the best as far as children go, because you have different dynamics as far as what a man can offer and what a woman can offer. We won't get into that today, but you know, it doesn't guarantee, you know, there's success. Obviously kids that end up in prison that had a mom and a dad, but overall, if you look at the data, I think it sways that way in a traditional home. But you know, we don't live in a traditional world anymore, and we have to navigate and find other solutions to keep some sort of semblance of a society. Or, as far as I'm concerned, it can all burn to the ground. I'm done.
Yeah,
I've had enough. I'm ready for it to crumble and start something new, because this just isn't working out. And on that positive note, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thanks, Anna. You can follow her at Anna Hummel Radio. You can follow me at home_made_man on Instagram and Twitter. Head over to hmbradio.com/store. Get yourself a hat or something. And you can always donate, too, if you don't want a hat. You don't have to, but it's available to you. hmbradio.com/donate. You can Venmo, PayPal, any of that stuff, if you want. Thanks for tuning in. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is up next, followed by the Indie Circuit. If you listen on podcasts, thank you. Tell a friend about it. Retweet it. Share it. Really does help. My name is Will Koontz. This has been HMB Radio on RadioSt.Pete.com and Sunshine 96.7 FM. Have a good one. See ya.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSt.Pete.com.